Welcome to the Fair Parenting Podcast, where we cover people's stories, ideas, and the progress towards fair parenting.
Welcome to the podcast. Today we're talking meditation and yoga. There's lots of content out there on these two subjects, but today I want to discuss them in the context of parents going through hell and how meditation and yoga can help. Some parents may not have considered them due to lack of time or stress, so for our listeners, I wanted to raise them as a tool to try. Family court is brutal for parents and children. It shouldn't be, but it is. Severe trauma can result. One thing I want the podcast to look at is ways to cope. We need ways to cope because the family court is a long way from being humane, and legal professionals can be detached from empathy and understanding. There are many tools we can use. Today we look at yoga and meditation. Both are increasingly used these days. Many top people use meditation for business, sport, and wellness. We need to try and stay well throughout the court process or while we're being abused. So this episode is in the context of using these tools to help parents cope. I'm very happy to say our guest this week is Aushi, who is a meditation teacher based in the London area. Hello, Aushi, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I'm very interested to talk about meditation and yoga with you. When, why, and how did you begin your journey into yoga and meditation?
So I think I attended my first yoga session 15 years ago, I should say. And I don't think that I got hooked right away, but I found that it brings a beautiful balance to my very busy lifestyle. It just gave me some space to wind down. It gave me some space where I could like challenge myself differently compared to what I was doing. Like, I was always very active and I really enjoyed all forms of exercise. And I think back then, the lady who was teaching that session just gave us some really good prompts as a relaxation part of the session. And I think some of them still stayed with me. And yoga's really like started to become a part of my life. I think like 15 years ago was like really a time when it got more and more popular. Like, you could easily attend a yoga session like in any gyms from then on. And like beyond all the other things that I was doing, yoga was always part of my life. Mm-hmm. And when I moved to the UK, I decided that I would like to deepen my practice and become a teacher. I did not intend to teach because I thought that I'm still like a novice and I still have a lot to learn. But I also felt that if I could deepen my practice, and I was really drawn to the meditation part, I was really drawn to the philosophy, I was really drawn to training my mind so it's not jumping around all the time, and to find like ways to calm down, find like ways to like just regulate myself when I'm in a heightened emotional state was like working for me. And it was really like eye-opening that if I calm my breath, then I will be able to respond not from anger or not from a very heightened emotional state, but from clarity. If I move my body and if I give myself that self-care, that time for myself, I'm just ultimately a nicer person. Yeah, I think 15 years ago it all started, and I'm teaching a little bit, like almost 6 years now.
Yes, that's interesting. And so a lot of people going through the family court will identify with things you mentioned there in terms of stress and reacting from a heightened state and not being calm. It can be a temptation to just carry on through and, you know, often you will be provoked and prompted to react. And, you know, you can think, well, I just need to respond to this letter and this email. And it can just make your stress worse and worse and worse. And it's interesting that you say that meditation can help with pulling you out of that state of mind.
I think it's a struggle for everyone. And something that I'm learning and testing every single day. Because, you know, I mean, unless you put these ideas into practice, this is all, I mean, in my mind. And when I'm by myself, I'm the calmest, chillest person on the earth. And then someone who's triggering me or just put me in the same room as some family members, it can be like they can send me through the roof, like in no time. So there are those, you know, triggering buttons. And especially in the scenario that you are talking about, when you are going through that constant irritation, that constant recurring stress, that constant trauma, yeah. What we are talking about here, really, I think it's just really important to have like a toolkit for yourself, whatever works for you, is to just bring you back to who you are. And I know that within that trauma, it is really, at some point, it's just really difficult. People feel like they are losing themselves in that whole struggle and in that whole challenge. But when you are sitting down answering to that email, when you are going into that court, I think just learning how to settle yourself and learning how you can reconnect with yourself and the person you really want to show up as can really make a difference, not just in like core decisions, although that, you know, can be impacted too, but also how you experience the whole challenge and the whole story of what you are writing alongside all the people impacted. So it does make a difference whether you are in a linear state of going deeper and deeper into that sorrow, into that bitterness, into that helplessness, or you just get to practice certain techniques that allows you to just heal a little, get back in with yourself, give yourself a little break, and then you can face the next challenge and the next challenge. So it's not like there's trauma on top of trauma and you're going down deeper and deeper and you're just don't really know why you are doing this anymore, and you might not be able to show up for your children anymore to the extent that you really want to, because you're just so overwhelmed and because you're just so exhausted from all that you're going through. But you have these tools that can really center you, heal you a little bit, so you can face these challenges with a little bit more resilience.
Yes, and I think that covers another question I was going to ask, because this can affect all sorts of people, such as grandparents, siblings, aunts and uncles, and many of them can feel powerless or abandoned by the system. So I was going to ask how meditation and yoga can help, and I think you've answered that, and it can help calm them and help them be more resilient, help them show up as the person they really are, rather than somebody who's anxious or damaged by what's happened.
I think it's just also like making this a habit of yours or something that you can return back to. It's just important because I find that especially with trauma, you can really get caught up in the events. I find that people are just doing one thing after another without like true consideration or truly just sitting down and acknowledging like, okay, and this just happened. And it sucks, or it hurts, or defining whatever it feels, whether that's a physical sensation in the body, or whether that's just an emotion that is just stuck to you. Just acknowledging that and just spending some time with yourself and really just looking in, like, this just happened. Do I allow this to define me? How do I want to show up? What kind of person I am? Whether the way I react, the way I hold myself, the way I speak, the way I respond, the way I put my intention behind my words or behind my actions is just really teaching you how this story is going to unfold and how you can really rewrite this story or turn it around and make this something that gets you grow, that gets you trust and hope for a happy ending, or you're really just moving into a very dark place where you can barely function and really just respond from that instinct, from that hurt, from that sorrow that is enveloping.
And it's a habit, it seems, a practice that has to be done repeatedly, not that you just do it for a week or two and then you don't ever suffer trauma anymore, It sounds like you need to keep, almost like the gym, you need to keep going in order to keep that center. Is that right?
I think there's an over-mystification about meditation and even yoga itself, because it doesn't have to be difficult. It is not as the same as going to the gym every day. It really requires so little from you. If you can sit on your bum, close your eyes, and just listen to your breath for 5 minutes straight, and just try and guide your attention back to your breath. And it gets boring. Like, who wants to listen to their breath for 5 minutes? Nobody. So, I mean, I get that. But if you just give yourself those 5 minutes to just focus your awareness on that breath, that gives you a little bit of a break for the million thoughts that are bombarding you every like day in and day out. It gives you that time and appreciation for yourself. Like, look, I am doing this for myself. I am giving myself these 5 minutes. This is just for me to just breathe, to just connect, to just clear my mind. And of course, the mind will not go empty. So there's no like, okay, blank. So this is not the end result that we are aiming for, but we're aiming for you to just give you that time. And whenever you notice that, okay, I'm thinking about whatever. I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat. I'm thinking about the court case. I'm thinking about my kid. I'm thinking about like there's a movie playing behind my closed eyes already. And just gently just telling yourself, okay, back to breath and just take a few more breaths. And again, if you just start with just a couple minutes, if it's just 3 minutes that you can sit still, then that's already more than nothing. If you can increase that to five, hooray, celebrate yourself. If you can increase that to 10 minutes, great, wonderful. So it doesn't have to be whatever you identify with meditation, like long, lotus shape, sitting on your bum on a block or on a meditation pillow with a straight spine. Like, I did not meditate for quite a long time when I started practicing yoga, just because I couldn't sit on my bum without any support to my back. Like, whenever they said like I have to meditate, like after a minute or so, my back started to hurt so badly that I'm like, okay, meditation is not good for me. But I mean, there are so many different ways and so many different tools that you can bring into your life that doesn't require any physical strength or any strain on your physical body. You can do that lying down. You can do that sitting in a chair. Like, you can do that even just doing the dishes. Like, if you just concentrate on your breathing, you can do that. That's already enough. And then you can explore ways, whatever works for you. Like, I know that there are some stuff that just ultimately don't work for me, like very strong breathing, like retention and different practices are just not for me. But I know that I can keep my eyes closed for 5 minutes. I can focus on my breath for 5 minutes. Yes, my mind will wander. And yes, I will catch my mind wandering. And yes, I will get my mind back to my breath. And that's all there is to learn. And of course, there are like guided meditations. Great. There are all sorts of like different techniques, like yoga nidra is just it's just beautiful. There are like hypnosis, which is like not the very strong voodoo, like anything that is playing with your mind, but like a very deep relaxation techniques that allows your body and your mind to just rest and heal and just relax are just really gorgeous ways of finding your equilibrium mentally and emotionally again. So it doesn't, it, but if it's just 5 minutes shutting your eyes and focusing on your breath, that is already more than a lot of people do for themselves.
Yeah, and it's really interesting what you said that you can do meditation while you're doing household or everyday tasks. So, for example, it's something you could do while going on a run or perhaps or playing piano. Could you to focus on your breath while doing something such as a run or any sort of other low-level task?
Yeah, I think when like meditation teachers or like very strong meditation practitioners say that you can do meditation while you're brushing your teeth, or you can include that in any kind of activity. And I fully agree. I think whatever you do, if you do that mindfully, then you can say that that's a form of meditation. Whenever you're like, nature is just healing on its own. So if you're just spending some time outside, or whether that's running or walking or just, you know, staring out into the sunshine, that's just wonderful. But I also find that, again, we are doing so many things on autopilot.
Yeah.
It's as if our life is just passing by because we're not paying attention. I especially like find that parents catch themselves noticing, like, where did the time go? Like I didn't see this, or I didn't experience that because I was so caught up with my job, or I was so caught up with the court case, or I was so caught up with whatever, moving house,
yeah,
or getting a new job, or just doing the groceries, or whatever you do. But if you just bring a little bit of mindfulness into whatever you are doing, then it is already a form of relaxation. It is already a form of meditation. And it's not a difficult thing when you are brushing your teeth and you're just really getting mindful of the movement. And you're just bringing some awareness into your senses, the sensations of how the toothbrush is touching your gums, the sensation, the smells, the smell of your toothpaste, whatever you see, whether you're staring in the mirror and you're making funny faces, whatever it might be, or how your feet are planted on the floor. If you can bring awareness to all this stuff, instead of like brushing your teeth for 3 minutes and you were already like working yourself up because of that email, or you're already stressing yourself out about the next court case or whatever hearing that you have.
Yeah.
So I think it is worthwhile to just exploring, like, what is that time where you can really dedicate it to mindfulness? And sometimes it's just taking 3 breaths before you start working. I normally just sit down into my chair with my, you know, with my laptop on and all the equipment ready. And I just take 3 calming breaths because I know that if I don't do that, just straight away my mind starts to go really fast and I'm multitasking in my head and I'm arguing with my boss in my head and I'm responding to my mom in my head. Like, I don't know whether that happened to you, but I have to apologize to people who are sending me messages and me not responding, because I already responded in my head and I did not respond. Like, really, I think that happened with you as well. Like, you sent me an email and I forgot to respond because I responded in my head, but I didn't actually type it down.
Yeah, well, maybe. I can't. The trouble is, my memory's so bad, I can't actually remember myself.
Yeah. So anyway, I just know that my mind can get away with me so easily that I just need those 3 calming breaths before I start, you know, working or doing anything, just so I can center myself and just so I can really feel in control of my thoughts and feel in control of my emotions and move from that place where I want to show up from.
Yeah. It's really good that you say it can be done flexibly, that you don't have to be strict with yourself or do the lotus position for half an hour a day. Also, I hear that many people have very negative self-talk, and people can have that even cleaning their teeth, you know, getting ready in the morning, perhaps they had dread the day or whatever.
Mm.
So to go with your example, if people can use that time more productively, it sounds like it can be very positive, as a negative self-talk doesn't really get us anywhere.
Yeah, but again, I think it's important to just explore the million ways that are out there. You know, just sitting for 5 minutes and listening to your breath may not work for everybody.
Mm.
Like, listening to a guided meditation is something that might be, you know, more accessible for other people.
Yeah.
Affirmations are just wonderful ways to, you know, set an intention and just say those positive, like, thoughts to yourself. I think it can really tune your mind into more trust and into more positivity and really getting out of that funk that is pulling you down. And there's, like, again, loads of ways. So if one way does not work, again, to me, seated meditation did not work for the first 10 years of my practice, just because I could not sit still, or just because my back hurt after 3 minutes. So try not to limit yourself. And really, again, there's so many free resources out there, or even just going into a gym, there is normally a yoga session there, and there might be like a 5 minutes meditation in the end. If for nothing else, if not for the pretzel poses and for the yoga itself, if you just go there for 5 minutes, for that 5 minutes meditation, then just give it a try, because you might find that one technique that you might have tried may not be perfect, but just keep finding ways that meditation can become accessible for you. And if it's just brushing your teeth with that mindful intention, or just washing your dishes with that mindful intention, then that is your thing. And then you can explore all the whatever, sitting under a tree in a lotus pose and all the hardcore stuff. But until then, just try and find something that really works for you, because there's loads of things out there that are, so it's not like a black and white thing, and there's just not one way to do this.
Yeah, and for the layperson, what would you say is the main differences between meditation and yoga?
So yoga has 8 different branches, and out of those 8 branches, only one is the physical asana practice, the movement side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Other branches that a layperson might be familiar with is breath practice, pranayama, all these breathing techniques where you are modifying the breath in order to achieve some sort of different mindset, because yoga is basically all about calming the chatter of your mind.
Yeah.
So all these techniques are here for you to calm that internal constant chatter of your mind. And, you know, the physical asanas do bring that sense of clarity. So if you are the person who is in a very heightened emotion, who is very restless, who is in the throes of anxiety, I won't tell you to sit down and meditate, because that, well, first of all, it would be very difficult for you.
Yeah.
And second, it would not do any good. You need a strong physical practice where you can focus your mind, that you need to achieve something, and you need to really focus your awareness, your attention to a specific thing that will get you out of that very anxious mindset, from that very like hyperventilating and very eager and bad place. So yoga is like an umbrella for 8 different practices. I'm not going to list all the 8, but again, the physical practice is one of them. Breathing techniques is another one of them. And meditation is the third of them.
Hmm.
So in that sense, this is basically the difference, that you are practicing yoga if you meditate.
Mm-hmm.
You are practicing yoga, like one of the branches is withdrawing one of your senses. So if you say that you are closing your eyes and you are trying to bring awareness to your surrounding or even just to your internal world, you're practicing yoga. If you are doing the shapes and the poses, into whatever level that you are practicing the physical asana, you are already practicing yoga. So it is all the same, but from different angles. And so the aim is all the same, to just quiet the mind so you can really move from that place of clarity, and you can move from that integrity. And again, whatever your will be helpful for your listeners, just listening to yourself and just spending time on knowing what works for you and what works for you at different times of your life. Probably meditation is the best thing for you. Breathing techniques can help you really pull yourself inwards and just move from that place where you, even when you are triggered, you can really get back to that place. When you're in a high anxiety place where something really upsetting happened and you're really in that zone of complete like outrage, then probably a physical practice, something to get the steam out of your system, would help you more.
Yeah.
So I think it's just researching and just trying all these different techniques will just get you to a place to that will just grow your toolbox. So whatever you have in your toolkit, whether that's just speaking with your friends, whether that is therapy, whether that is a meditation practice, or whether there's any kind of physical movement, whether that's yoga, or whether you just need to pump some iron, or you need to go into a very strong spinning class, or just go out for a run.
Yeah.
then these are the things that you go in. These are the things that will allow you to come back to yourself. So it's not a downward spiral, but there's like constant periodic healing for you.
So it's really interesting what you say, that meditation is part of yoga. I didn't actually know that. With meditation, is it something you should try and do every day or even multiple times a day?
I would say that go for minimal stress.
Yeah.
So if you put that pressure on yourself to practice every single day,
yeah,
and you won't be able to fit that into your day because you're busy or you forgot, or you just really, you're just in that headspace where you cannot sit still for 5 minutes,
yeah,
then you just feel even more defeated and more anxious, like, oh my god, not only did this happen, not only did I whatever receive a triggering email, not only do I have to show up at court, but I did not do my meditation on top of that. That's horrible. Like, really, you just need to give yourself some grace. If you celebrate every single practice that you have some regularity, but try to, like, I don't know whether you heard about habit stacking. Like, habit stacking is really about, if you have a habit like brushing your teeth and then you want to add a new habit into your toolkit, then you can say every single day, I'm going to meditate for 5 minutes after brushing my teeth.
Right. Yeah.
And it's more likely to happen as opposed to you trying to block out an hour of yoga practice or half an hour of guided meditation or whatever you set yourself up to. And if it doesn't happen every day, great. If it happens, you know, once a week, that's a habit already. If you can up that, if you can increase the time from 5 minutes to 10 minutes, these are all small but relevant progress that you can make. So I would not like have a recipe for what is a perfect meditation practice. Whatever works for you and whatever is really serving you and giving you more healing than stress.
Yeah.
Like I it's very common, especially at this time of the year, to sign up, like have either a New Year's resolution or signing up for like a 30-day yoga challenge or a 30-day meditation challenge or a 30-day journaling challenge.
Yeah.
And if you miss a day, then you're already like giving up your habit, or you're already giving up that intention that you set for yourself. So just give yourself grace, and whatever is least stressful for you, that's where you need to be going to.
I suppose if you start off doing it once a week even, and you find value in that, you're going to naturally gravitate to do more.
Oh, that's very true. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Because I think it's just very important to make it enjoyable. Like, I find that just lying down on the floor and just allowing my body to lie straight and still,
yeah,
just gives me a little healing on a physical level. And if I add another 5 minutes of some mental practice, of some breathing or closing my eyes and just trying to focus my attention on something, whether that's my breath, whether that's, you know, any kind of mental image,
yeah,
or whether I can just, you know, turn on some kind of meditation sessions or any kind of pre-recorded affirmations or whatnot, it's just so lovely. I just feel refreshed. I just feel like a better person afterwards. I feel a sense of achievement, like, oh, how nice I was to myself, like, isn't that lovely? It just makes you feel better. So just try to go for stuff that lift you up, not stuff that put more pressure on you.
And for someone who's just taking their first steps into meditation and yoga, we've mentioned affirmations and breathing and guided meditations and groups at gyms. What sort of thing do you recommend?
There's loads of free resources online. Like, YouTube is full of wonderful guided meditations. There are loads of affirmations, meditation, visualizations. I haven't done any research on whether there's any material out there for like specific to the group of people who might be listening to this podcast who are going through this parenting challenge or court cases.
Yeah.
But I think anything that is built for reducing anxiety, any kind of practice, there's a lot of somatic practices that are very healing. So I would say, if you don't have time for anything, go with the 5 minutes sitting still with your eyes closed, focusing on your breath.
Yeah.
If you don't have that much time either, taking three breaths before you start whatever activity that you want to go in with, that is already going to make a difference.
Yeah.
If you really want to dedicate time and effort to it, just go online and find a guided meditation that can really make a whole lot of good for your mindset, for your well-being.
Yeah. And you have a YouTube channel yourself. Are there guided meditations on there that people can perhaps use?
Yeah, I have a few guided meditations, but I was focusing more on yoga nidra. So that is a deep relaxation technique that I've trained with. And so I have a few of yoga nidra guided relaxations in there.
Mm-hmm. And is meditation helpful for children? Because, for example, I know during COVID, we were told mental health was a problem for children, and in the aftermath of the COVID restrictions. And also, you know, children have very stressful situations, just as we all do. You know, it could be to link to parental alienation or family court proceedings, or just life in general. Can meditation help children?
Yes. I think it's just a different approach. So you're not going to tell your child to sit still for 5 minutes, especially if it's like a very little kid.
Yeah.
Like they won't be able to do that.
No.
But if you just say that, can we just breathe together? Let's take three breaths together.
Mm.
They are very attracted to it, and they are very drawn to meditation, and especially breath work is really working for them so beautifully. Like, I am teaching pregnancy yoga for local women.
Yeah.
And I taught them like a breathing technique that is really helpful for labor. And one of my moms said that she is a primary school teacher. And when the kids were all over the place and some of their plans were canceled, and they got into like a very anxious, like all over the place, loads of noise, loads of like running around.
Yeah.
She calmed them down by teaching that breathing practice to them. She said that they were just so attracted to the whole thing, like they were so like listening instantly. So I think it's just finding the right ways, like stories. Children love stories. So if you just tell them that, like, imagine that there is a butterfly sitting on your chest.
Yeah.
Can you just make sure that the butterfly is not flying away and you just breathe in and out, so your chest is just moving really steadily so that butterfly stays on? There are so many beautiful symbols, like breathing as if you were blowing away some dandelions. Like, they are really attracted to that stuff. And so don't imagine children's meditation as a, again, very strong, very serious, very always the same practice.
Yes. Yes.
But just coming up with ways of how they can
use their imagination.
Yeah, use their imagination, but also like how they can moderate and hold themselves.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, if you cannot physically give them a hug or if you cannot physically hold them, how they can like moderate themselves and come back to a calmer state of mind, just imagining like flower, any nature stuff is like really great. Or just sitting still and just taking three breaths, or just blowing a balloon, or stuff like that. So I think if you're creative and come up with ways of how you can involve them, then it can really help them.
Yeah, that's interesting. When I went to see a school for my child, they had some sort of meditation videos on a big screen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I asked them about it, and they said that it really helps. Mm-hmm. I was really encouraged to see a school actually incorporating that. I don't know how widespread is in the country, but I thought it was a good thing.
I believe that they are bringing it into schools more and more, which is something to really celebrate, because it's really so good for kids to have like dedicated time to release stress, because even little lives and little thoughts have like big things to face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really lovely that they are bringing that into the school grounds. Yeah.
So you teach yoga and meditation. You mentioned you do have a pregnancy group. Is that your sole focus, or do you do other teaching, and is that online or in person?
So I'm teaching private individuals in the Watford, Hertfordshire area, and I'm teaching pregnancy yoga locally. and I am teaching online as well. So I have this YouTube channel, and I'm working on an online yoga program. So I'm doing all sorts of online, offline things, but yeah, you can find me in multiple places.
Okay, so do you have a sort of a website from which people can branch off into the YouTube channel or everything, or is it several places that we can give in the show notes?
Yeah, I mean, I can share the links of that, but my new website is feminine2thrive.co.uk. This is
Okay.
particularly supporting women going through their major life changes. But that includes like anything that includes any kind of gentle or mindfulness approaches that I'm teaching as well.
Okay, well, that sounds really great. What I'll do then is we'll get the links together in the show notes for people to read, and they can go and see your YouTube channel and your website. But thanks very much for talking to us. I think you've taught me quite a few things there, and I think there's some really useful information there for life in general, but you've managed to tailor it to situations to do with parental trauma and family court. And I really hope that the listeners will give meditation, affirmations a try, and hopefully it can help them. I really think it's something that's worth doing.
Absolutely. If you just give it a try, then you will see it for yourself. So thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks very much, Orshi. Goodbye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Please join us next time.